You know, they've been saying it for a long time. All politics is local. It's very much the truth. We do see a lot of national invasion, I think, into our local politics. And that creates some difficulties at times, right? Because when it gets right down to it, we're talking one-on-one. We're talking about people and ideas. And are we doing a good job of that? I don't know. There's a lot of people that take offense so easily. We're trying to measure our words. That's a good thing, okay? All of that. But are we just skipping over the hard questions? Are we not asking the right questions? Those are things we'll talk about here today. On the plate will be election integrity, illegal immigration, drug enforcement, and the Montana GOP. There's a party divide that has not only been developing, it has developed. So we'll talk about that here today. Got a full plate for Representative Stacey Zinn today in studio on Voices of Montana. Stacey Zinn, good morning, ma'am.
Good morning. And when you said it was Friday, I'm like, is it really Friday?
Yeah.
My days are confused.
Yeah, I know. Me too, as a matter of fact. I'm glad it's Friday.
Yes, I am.
But, you know, the joke is maybe it's not so funny anymore. You know, Friday, only two more working days this week. But that's the case, isn't it? I mean, today's world is, whether you're working hard or playing hard, you're going 24/7, aren't we?
Oh, absolutely. And especially in this political cycle, it has been fast and furious. And I'm glad that we're going to sit down and have a discussion on the Montana politics, and even at the national level.
Yeah, yeah. Stacey's in again. She's vice chair of the Montana GOP and was appointed by Yellowstone County Commissioners earlier this year to represent House District 52 as Bill Mercer, who's a
brilliant
statesman.
Brilliant,
yes, isn't he? Yeah, yeah, thank you. A statesman, and we were, I'm thankful, we were lucky, I think, to have him represent, you know, constituents in your district now, but also all of Montana too.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah,
absolutely.
So a lot of things to talk about here. You won your primary.
Yes, sir.
And you know, and I've mentioned it here too, and I know that you're a party official. You're elected vice chair of the Montana GOP.
Yes, sir.
And then maybe unofficially the party ran a candidate against you. And that I think that little statement right there shows that we've got an issue, or the GOP has an issue, and it's come out an awful lot, too. Your perspective on that? I mean, I know that there's a lawsuit, and I know it's difficult to kind of talk about this because, on one hand, you know, some of the – I hate calling them hardliners – but that's a label I guess people understand. But some of the more conservative in the party – are frustrated about some of the issues that don't get across the governor's desk, so to speak. And I can understand that, too. But there are others who are conservative and are being labeled not conservative enough. And so that that is what it is, and that's what we're dealing with. You're caught in the middle of that.
Yes, I am.
So give us some thoughts.
Well, I mean, I am caught in the middle of it because when I was former head of DEA, I had to speak with everyone. Your criminal elements, your cartel members, your local drug dealers. I sat across the table. We had open communications. Whether you like it or not, that's what happens. So I have, that was 23 years of training. So I've carried that into my political career. I will talk to whomever that will listen, share ideals. I may not agree, c'est la vie. But just because I sit across the aisle and speak to someone doesn't mean that, you know, I am in cahoots with them and that I am agreeing 100%. And sometimes people have a hard time dealing with that. You know, sometimes they see, you know, think that, you know, observations are reality. Well, not at all. It was disappointing that I did have an individual primary me, but that is what the freedom of elections are.
It is.
And it's fine. Is that... Yeah. You know, may the best person win. Yep. May the voters get to choose from good people. So whether it was against me or other people, the voters got to look at all the candidates and decide who would better represent them, and they made their choice. Now, when you start saying, well, you know, it's okay to get in this race, but it's not okay to get in that race against this person, then no, you're being hypocritical. And that's what we did have across the state. So what's good for the goose is good for the gander. Don't throw rocks at glass houses. But I made it through the primary.
61-39.
Well, thank you, thank you, thank you. And now it's my turn to represent my district. And I'm trying to find ways where I can sit down and communicate with all of them, because I want to hear not just the conservatives. I want to hear the moderates. I want to hear from the Democrats. I want to hear, because they are a community and we live in a community. We live together. How do we make our community better? How do we make Billings better? How do we make our state better? How do we make our country better? And all voices count. Doesn't mean, again, I'm going to agree, but they deserve to be heard, whether it be town halls, emails. I want to hear from them, but like, how can I effectively communicate to you? How can you communicate to me?
There are two things that we're thinking about when we talk about election integrity. One, it seems to be the major focus, and it ought to be, are they secure? Are our elections secure? Are they honest? But the word integrity has a whole different meaning as well, and it's about how you conduct your elections. And I think we've seen that line has been pushed in this last primary election in particular about some of the things that were said, some of the mailings that went out that used AI that were incorrect. I mean, there's going to be a case to settle that as well. Where is that aspect of election integrity? I know it has to be individual, and we understand there's a lot of messaging, and you play the game, you can win power, but you may not win for the people in that regard. There's a lot of that going on. Where is that integrity right now? Are we going to hold that at a higher level?
And see, that's where I'm trying to wrap my head around, because I was thrown smack in the middle of it. And it went all the way back to the state convention when I was running for chair against Art Wittich, and he won fair and square. We had a controversy in there where there's nine that got tossed. I was sitting next to Judge Mercer, who was saying, this is a wrong action to be taken. So I said, well, what do we do? He goes, Yellowstone County should be voting against throwing them out. Well, when I voted, hey, this is wrong procedure. This is not procedurally correct, even though the parliamentary is kind of like on that fence. You know, when I voted to keep them in, that was signaling, you know, people are going, oh, my gosh, she's for them. Oh. I am for procedure. Bill Mercer is for procedure. David Noble, who's an attorney on the other side of the field, is procedure. And people view that as betrayal to them and what we believed in. It's like, no. So that's where you start where, okay, do the rules count? Then you come into the primary. And when we have conservatives from Montana, who was a PAC that actually had, you know, Democratic money being funded to support individuals, to muddy it up.
It's hard to ignore that.
It's hard to ignore it. Yeah. But the thing is, when the candidate is going, where did this come from? Why is this PAC sending it? And you can't do anything about it. The candidate cannot pick up the phone and say, stop doing this. Now, there is a final line. I spoke with COPP on it, and they were saying, well, you could call the treasurer, but if they think it's a wink, wink, nod, nod, then you are colluding with them. And what does that mean? You get set up for prosecution. Mm-hmm. Also, if this PAC spends money on you, and then someone in the Montana GOP, someone in your organization goes, you need to pay that money back. Well, no, you can't, because then that candidate's going to be fined $35,000. Then COPP will turn that case over to the district attorney and set it for prosecution. So the candidate gets their hands tied. And that's basically what happened to me. There was mailers coming out. Then the opposition also from D.C. was sending out mailers with the trans flag on it with my picture next to it. And I didn't even know it's a trans flag. And I'm like, I didn't know until after the fact. And thank goodness, because if I did, I probably would have lost it. My goal was to run a clean campaign. I got on Facebook and said, I'm going to hold my feet and my people's feet to the fire. I'm going to run a clean campaign. If I would have known that was a trans flag being passed around with my picture next to it, I probably would have ended up stepping on it. And it's fortunate I didn't know until after the fact. But here's the thing. You go back to integrity. Was putting a trans flag on my, saying that I was associated with that, is that integrity? No, yeah. It's not.
Yeah.
Is sending out mailers without my permission, actually on the mailer saying, calling me, you know, saying I'm running for Senate. I mean, the conservatives from Montana even got the mailers mixed up. I had to talk to the additional people on the door saying, no, I didn't send this out. I didn't authorize it. This is what's going on. So at least my voters, my constituents knew what was going on. But the integrity portion, we've got to get back to a little bit of sensibility on that, because we are ruining the Republican brand by doing this to each other.
There's a line that gets crossed, and sometimes that line's fuzzy, other times that line's pretty clear. And then when you cross over that line, it's really hard to get back on the other side. So integrity starts with the individual, saying that's the line that I will not cross. But I understand the temptation in all of that. Stacey's in with us again, vice chair of the Montana GOP, former DEA agent. I remember chatting with you, and we still love that picture and put it up. You've got the what was it, an AK-47, and you're,
it's my M4.
M4.
Yes, I still have. I have multiple guns and weapons and stuff. Even now, people that are you know, we're not supposed to be on the same team are still saying, "Oh, did you really go to Afghanistan?" I mean, that's just how in the mud we've gone.
Yeah, yeah.
And enough is enough.
All right. Pulling back. How do we pull back? I mean, have you had conversations? I know people have tried, and there's still, well, a lot of it became personal because of what happened in the last legislature. And I think, you know, there's some valid reasons to go for the GOP to go, well, we have to take this hardline move now because we had power going in, and then day one, we lost it. And so I understand trying to avoid that happening as party officials, but doesn't that indicate that, you know, as we see, politics moves. It moves not very fast, but it does swing along the pendulum right and left for particular parties. How does this collaboration happen? How do we get back to accepting that, you know, your conservative values and my conservative values can make us more together instead of being, opposed because it's a power thing?
Again, it's the yo tango meal. It's been, you know, I'm half Hispanic and stuff. I used to use that in South America, but it means I have mine. And people, candidates, Republicans, Democrats, independents need to stop saying it's I have mine. This is about your voters. This is about the people in this state. When we as politicians start thinking only about ourselves, this is when we start getting greedy, and we need to take three steps back. Yes, was there missteps in the last legislature? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Now, were there forces behind? There's a lot of layers to this, which I can actually go into it, but I won't right at this point. Yeah. There's a lot of layers. There's a lot of fingers pointed, but people know a big chunk of the situation that took place. Some people don't know what behind the scenes. So there's plenty of room to go around. Now, yeah. Now that that's happened, it's time to take a breath, take a step back and go on, no more. If you want to go into the next session and have the same type of blankety blank show that we had prior, then have at it. You're going to upset the voters again, and you're going to damage the party again. So it's time to now go, okay, we need to get our priorities. We need to look at property taxes. We need to look at security issues in the state. We need to look at education. We need to look at our spending in the state. We have a whole gamut of ideals and policies we need to review. We need to stop fighting each other. But if you're going to be a Republican, whether it's a moderate, if it's a far right, if it's whatever, or you're in the middle, you've got to start working together as a team. Now, as the Democrats are also fighting. The Democrats are doing just as much, but they're keeping theirs out of the news, you know, not as much as our business.
Well, I know. They love to talk about GOP.
Absolutely. Yeah, but they're fighting because you see who's running for the Senate. You have an independent and you have a Democrat. Mm-hmm. And you have an independent that's acting like an independent, but he's actually, if you look at his policy and what he believes in, he's a Democrat. And I'm probably going to get some phone calls after that, but this calls spade to spade.
I think it's fair to say that because you look at the people who are running their campaigns, and they're all established Democrat party officials.
Absolutely.
For Michael Eisenhower and for Seth Bodner. I don't think we're being fooled. But honestly, also, you know, they want to run as independent if they can. It's not... I don't think it's entirely, I'm a Democrat, but I'm going to run just so I can get elected as an independent. I think there's some movement toward independence because of what we've seen. But let's
This at that point was very, because on the doors, when I was going to every single door, I was hearing more of, well, you know, we're mad at the Republican Party. So, you know what? Look, what does Trump do nationally? You know what? Forget it. We're going to start looking at independence and start hearing independent, independent, independent. Mm-hmm. I was running the Sheehy ground team here in Yellowstone County. I didn't hear that much on the doors. I'm hearing that now. That is also a ploy, though, mm-hmm. for an individual to go, you know what? I'm going to run as independent because a lot of times the voters are not staying focused on the candidate. They're not looking at their policies, what they believe in stuff. That is a problem. People are taking advantage of the word independent, and that needs to be thrown out there.
Yeah. No, I appreciate that, too. And it is part of the company you keep, too. Well, I don't want to talk about that in particular right now.
Got it.
I want to go back into, getting people back into the middle, right? And so this independent claim that you're hearing on the doorstep, so to speak, voters have they're very challenged in being fully informed before they go to the polls. And the people who play the game know that. And so there's a lot of messaging out there, and it's subtle. And like you said, all those layers involved in politics. And people I know are feeling like, look, come on, are you representing me or not? And so something is changing in our government, right?
Yes.
And so how do we make that change go in the right direction if it's in the wrong direction? How do you turn that around?
Well, I'm a strong believer in communications. Mm. I'm a strong believer then you bring the people to the table that are fighting. Now, I know that we're at a level where the top layers are not going to sit down. So then you bring the middle layers together and saying, okay, how do we fix a problem? How do we start walking in a path that we can, it's going to benefit the community and stuff? You have to have level-minded people that are willing to do that. If you keep going behind closed doors and whispering and doing this whisper campaign and having secret meetings and thinking out, how am I going to topple this? It's not going to work. It's not going to work. You bring people together and have that community. Now, let's say you can't. Well, then we're going to have a gentleman's agreement, like we're going to agree to disagree. But again, we're going into the 2027 legislative session. We have to have a plan. And I need for people to start coming to extend that olive branch. You extend the olive branch, you can make hayway. Yeah. And we can. But I also need the voters. I need the voters to educate themselves, and I need the voters to pay attention and start, if they see something they don't like, to start speaking up. Because if you can say, well, that's not my, I've got to do A, B, and C, D. No, these people are making decisions, whether it be school, school council, library boards, to your city council, to your mayor. All these elected officials make decisions that affect the families. The families need to start pushing back if they don't like it, or they need to start speaking up, or they need to start encouraging their local leaders to do the right thing.
That's one reason why I believe that we need partisan identification in our judicial races as well, because let's just not fool ourselves anymore about what's going on. I got to take a break, though. I can't believe it. It's already 9:25. Yeah, I know it, right? I'm just going to go, Cody, for another 5 minutes, all right? And then we'll take our news break. And so we just got a couple minutes here. Let's finish this up. And then we'll move to some of the other things here. Election integrity is part of this as well. But, getting young kids involved in politics, a certain amount of this is good. But I think we've gone kind of across that line a little bit. But I like the discussion. I like that we're having it. I like that those people who are more conservative, especially in some certain ideals, or so to speak, are out there standing up for their conservancy, too. It's the same thing on the far left side. The election's upcoming, and I don't know that I'm asking a real super good question here, trying to put a thought to where this goes. Are you having conversations with party leaders? Have those olive branches been extended, even if you may not recognize them as a really good olive branch? Has anything like that kind of come about here after this primary election?
There's been discussions. I have been behind the scenes trying to say, okay, how do we fix something that's broken? And, I don't want to really get into it. There is a lawsuit, mm-hmm. and that needs to be sorted out. I'm not going to talk about the lawsuit because...
What's the nature of it, though? I mean, there were certain members of the GOP party who have challenged the recent rules adopted by the party at their convention. Is that correct?
Based on the documentation, that is correct.
Yeah, okay. So that's the nature of this lawsuit, so to speak.
Correct. But because it's in judicial system, I do not want to go into that because I do not want to put anything out there that may taint anything.
Right. Yeah.
So there are situations going on right now that needs to be resolved. Now, going back to your original question, as people starting to come, there are people saying, you know what, enough's enough. We fought. It's time to move on. Those discussions are taking place. There are private meetings that, you know, one-on-one conversations that are taking place from the opposite sides, which is excellent, which is good. You've seen people go, you know what, let's have coffee.
Yeah.
And they want to get all the facts. When you get all the facts, you start putting the pieces of the puzzle together. That jigsaw puzzle starts coming into full focus. And so it's really good. But I want to circle back around to what you said about partisan races. That is a hot topic right now. Mm-hmm. People want to know, for example, me, I'm a prime example. I was 23 years DEA. People didn't really know me. Where does Stacey's in? Where does she sit on? Is she, you know, I got called a rhino. I got called a liberal. I got called too far right during this primary. It was a trifecta. So people, I mean, if people want to know what I believe, then you want to know what your candidate thinks. When you have these judges that are sitting in there on the board, in their chair, and they are actually putting their ideology into the case law, that's a problem. You want to know that as a voter, what does this person believe? Because I would love to have bipartisan races if people were bipartisan. But we have come to a place now that we've gone too far down that path where we put our ideals and our views into our legal system. That is why, and the Republican Party there's some confusion among all of us about which way do we lean. No, you want to know what that person is thinking, how that person is going to rule on the bench, because that's how they're
aligned.
Yes.
Yeah.
Why not know that?
Stacey's in studio. Looks like we could probably just talk and talk and talk. Got another breakup coming, and so we're going to save some things for the other side of that as well. Tom Schultz back alongside. There was a press release from Speaker Brandon Lehr, Montana House of Representatives, about a Supreme Court appointee from the Supreme Court. And I don't know if I got a whole ton of time here to throw that out here. The raised concerns following Supreme Court's appointment of former court administrator Beth McLaughlin to the Commission on Practice. And Beth McLaughlin was part of a controversy between the Supreme Court and the legislature over lobbying against bills that were not even passed yet on state computers, a part of that as well. And then so she pulled out. And now she's being appointed back in by that state, same Supreme Court. Our guest is Stacey's in today in studio, former DEA agent. Remember when you first came on board here, we started talking about all those experiences and how important, vital that is, and wealth of information. Now a representative for House District 52 won her primary. And now the general election is upcoming as well, but she's vice chair of the Montana GOP. So we're talking about some party issues here as well. And I kind of want to get away from them a little bit, but I got a text message here. This is a very measured one. Welcome back, and thank you for joining us here on Voices of Montana. Hello to our friends in Glasgow, KLTZ, 1240 AM. We were just up in Great Falls, KQDI, 1450 AM, 97.5 FM for the For the Farmers tour. Gosh, all you guys, all you farmers, all... thank you. Honestly, it was a really, really good, all the way around. We went way up north to Sunburst and talked with our farmers and our growers. And then we were all over that area as well. And I just, I love being in with Montanans. And so thank you for the heart that you have for your community, your families, and what we're talking about here today, these issues that matter. We're kind of laughing a little bit, or I was, because I was just thinking, it's a little bit muddy, right? Well, even if you're talking about these things, you're standing in mud yourself. So it's there's a lot of layers to it, and it's hard to kind of see the waters clear up a little bit, but we work toward that. And so, you know, Stacey's in, the question I have, I'll go to this as well. Let me get this message out here. And thanks. Our text message is 781-627-5483. Republicans are known to be free thinkers. That's a great thing. The leaders of the party need to govern with that in mind. Negative advertising, kicking people out of the party is childish. Listen to everyone. Put the ideas together. Hear what the voters are saying, and then create a platform that can be presented. So thank you for that. I appreciate that. A very measured response. And that's one of the things I thought about asking, and then I kind of want to move on a little bit too. There is, when you're talking about conservative politics or even Democratic or liberal politics, there's a certain amount that everybody's going to agree on. I think for conservatism, it's a large amount. I think that 80 to 85% of these issues conservatives are going to agree on, and maybe there's 15, 20% that needs to be straightened out. Why not work? Let's get that 85%, our ducks in a row, so to speak, with that 85%. Let's accomplish these policies that we know are going to work for the people first. And then that 15 to 20%, these are issues are important to everybody as well. Let's see if we can't find some consensus on that. The general election is upcoming, right?
Yes.
People are going to try to do that. What's the 85% that we agree on? And how do you see us working to accomplish some of the issues with that?
Well, I mean, you look at your policies, and the policies, I mean, Republicans are for lower taxes. We are for, border security. We are, the family structure. We want less regulation, less government. I am 100% all for that. It's when you get into the weeds of some particular maybe social policy, whatever that maybe the Republicans don't agree on within the party. That is okay. You're not going to get 100%. No person will be voting 100%. If they do, it's. I'm not going to go there.
Don't make the perfect the enemy of the good.
Correct. So if you and here, I mean, you look at Gallatin County. Gallatin County is more of a moderate Republican area. You're not going to get a person that votes 100% conservative in that. The voters are not accepted. Yeah. So accept a person that's going to vote 80%. I will take that person in a heartbeat. I'd rather have a person that's voting 80% than 0% or 7%. Now, do we have individuals that are maybe voting a little bit too far to the left? That's when you bring them in the circle and go, hey, what's up with this? Walk me through your mindset on this policy. Again, calling a spade, but don't gang on these people and trash them and throw them in the news because it dirties up all Republicans, not just them.
Why?
That's what I heard from the voters.
Ask the question why and let that open doors. Nancy in Roundup joins us. Nancy, good morning. Thanks for joining us, listening on the Mighty 790 KGHL. Hope you're well and weigh in here.
I'm great, Tom. Thank you for taking my phone call. Good morning, Stacy. Okay, I want to talk a little bit about voter integrity. The SAVES Act, and you mentioned federal judges. Right now, there's a coalition that's really fighting against the SAVES Act that we have to have because, as you know, you probably did listen to President Trump's speech last week on how the in 2020 election that the Chinese compromised 220 American voter election registrations. And there's more federal investigating getting into this. But my question is this. Okay, Rush Limbaugh warned us for years about federal judges getting involved in our federal elections, and he was so spot on. How do we stop these judges from interfering in our elections? And thank you.
Plain and simple. How do we?
I mean, and elections have consequences. You put judges into their position that have moral integrity. And that's where the bipartisan and partisan argument comes in, is that if you have an individual that's left-leaning and he or she is acting like she's right-leaning or conservative, that is a problem because once they get into that chair, they're going to go with their ideology. We see it over and over and over in the state of Montana. That is why the Judge Wilson race is so important to get a man in there that has already showed us that I don't want to say rules because that just sounds really like a king-like. But on the bench, he looks at the law and he follows the law. He did it during COVID. So, and he'll tell you point A, B, C, and D, where his opponent is all convoluted. She's saying that she's a conservative. You look at how she has actually on the benches, how she's actually – her decisions have been far left. But if she's coming out and saying, no, I'm conservative, or yes, I'm this, I'm that, and confusing the voters, that is why you have to look back and go, you know what? Maybe we need to know what these judges are thinking and feeling and stuff. But I'll circle back around. We need to put judges on the bench that will uphold the laws of the land, not make up their own rules of the laws of the land. If that makes sense.
Yeah. No, we see that activism. And to us, it seems kind of plain and clear. But it's easy to, I think, hide behind the robe. And say, no, I am following the law, but they tracked it to get to a ruling, I think, that they favored. There's a lot of that. I mean, and it would, we're not painting one big broad brush here either. It's on individual cases, but I think we have seen the judiciary move a lot to the left, and it's no mistake because large liberal organizations are putting a lot of money into electing so-called nonpartisan judges. Why are they doing that? I think you ask that question, you ask the why, and it opens up some doors. We're going to run out of time. What do you like about this campaign season upcoming? People are talking about, look at, you know, stop fighting. Let's get work done for the people. What's the work that needs to be done for the people?
Well, I mean, and that's a very good question because I want to hear from the people. And I'm going to circle back to we're having an event this Saturday, the Young Adults Events Grassroots, where we are asking the community that if you want to get involved, come to the Columbia Club on Saturday, July 25th between 4:30 and 7 p.m. It's located at 2216 Grab Avenue. Come and share your ideals. Come and share what you want to see your politicians do, what you want to see improved in your community and stuff. Ask any question. Ask anything out there. I'm very transparent. You ask me A, B, and C, I'm going to answer A, B, and C. If I can't, then I'm going to circle back around you and take you privately and say, I can't say this and this is why. Ask your politicians what's going on. We need to get people out there that have concerns, whether it's property taxes, where it's personal things that they need to see, it needs to be improved. Coming out. That's when I want the voters to start reclaiming their power.
Yeah.
The power lies in the voter's hand. Elections have consequences. Put judges in, they're going to protect our communities. Get rid of a far left Supreme Court. Put people in like Kurt Almy, you know, Aaron, put a Troy Downing. Put people in that are going to uphold the values of what Montana needs and wants. And let's get on the same train and go down the track together.
Stacey's in with us again, vice chair of the GOP party and a candidate for House District 52 as well in the general election upcoming. I noted this, and this was a press release released couple of days ago from Speaker of the House Brandon Lear going into it. And this is, I think, indicative of what we're talking about here, where the Montana Supreme Court Beth McLaughlin, and it's pretty well known, there was quite a bit of public controversy around her role in the conflict in 2021 between the legislature over judicial polling, legislative subpoenas, and public records. So McLaughlin recently said, okay, I am going to step down from this position. Then the Supreme Court appoints her to the Commission on Practice, which is an accountability agency, so to speak. And so someone who has, in my mind, okay, avoided accountability is now going to be put into a position where she's going to try to hold the people accountable who I believe, in my mind, she did not hold accountable or want to hold accountable. And I think that just shows how partisan the races really are. So why don't we just be honest and vote for partisan judicial nominations?
Yeah, and I got some snake oil I can sell you too for $5 and, you know, in my car out there.
Would you sell it to me for $4?
Well, you know, it depends.
You would. I know you would. Because you want me to have it.
That's a valid point. Yeah. When someone did something in the past that's shady and then she leaves that office, is that a wink, wink, nod? Is that of, okay, take a step back. We will reward you later on. Now she got the reward. If a person is showing that they didn't have the integrity back then, then people need to sit her down and go, okay, explain yourself. We're supposed to take this supreme liberal court that we have in Montana for at face value here. They have some explaining to do, too.
And they get to hide behind, oh, no, you know, this is judicial. We're not going to go into that. We are nonpartisan. And so I think it's the game is up. I think people are seeing this. And what we're trying to do is drive, you know, steer the ship, because our captains are in the back plotting against each other. So somebody's got to drive this.
And that is true. And that's where I say that the power lies in the hands of the voters. And that's why I'm harping, and I am, you know, trying to get them. It's time to wake up. It's time to get out there. It's just because, you know, Trump's not on the ballot list. You need to get out there and you need to vote. You know, we've had, we had, what, 33% voters come out in this last primary, roughly.
That's on us.
Yeah, it's on us. So you cannot say, you know, it's not my deal. I don't care. No, you need to care, because later on you're going, rats, I should have cared.
Stacey, we only got like a minute left here, and we can't put final thoughts on any of this because it's always ongoing, so to speak. Do you think that as you're out there knocking on doors that the public is going to get engaged a little more in the kind of public service, and thank you for yours, that we need to move some of these ideals for solutions forward?
They need to, because, I mean, we still have a immigration problem, not only in the United States, but here in Montana.
Yeah.
You see ICE, you know, their footprint, they're trying to clean up the mess that the Biden administration did. And what I mean by that is that we still have people here illegally that do not have status. We're seeing an uptick in sex trafficking. We're seeing an uptick in labor trafficking. These individuals that have been trafficked, they owe monies. And people here, we have nefarious people. So circle back around. You have people, you have voters here that need to keep people in power. They're going to clean up the mess of the Biden administration. And that's why they do not need to give up on faith on the Republicans. We are getting our act together, and we are going to be serving the people, at least, yes.
It's a huge issue in my mind, because I felt that it was purposeful and not to the benefit of the American people. I thought, again, the move to let illegal immigrants into our country during a pandemic, you saw the lines. They were marching in. They were encouraged. I just felt that was a betrayal.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And I'm seeing an uptick in sex trafficking among young adults. That's a problem. We'll save that for next time.
Not without consequences, that's for sure.
That is
Stacey,
correct.
Good job. Get out there.
Woo-hoo.
Okay, appreciate it.
Thank you.
And we'll pray for you.
Thanks for joining us for the podcast. And join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.